Yeah, hello everyone. It's Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International, and today is November the 12th, 2020, and, you know, we always have these calls the second and fourth Thursday of the month, so the next one, normally it would be on the 26th, but that's actually Thanksgiving, so this, so I'll do it that week. I'll do it on Tuesday. We can do our call earlier in the week on Tuesday, the November 24th. So just give you that announcement. You could mark your calendars for that. So it'll be earlier in the week, Tuesday the 24th, instead of the 26th, since that is Thanksgiving. So, yeah, and welcome. We've got Anna L. on the call from France, and Val from in Washington State, and Dave in Utah, and some other people are calling in that are traveling, so they're on mute too, so that's good. So we've got lots of great folks here. And so just wanted to talk about our topic. Last time we talked about slumps and getting through that, and also I wanted to talk more about that, but maybe from an athlete perspective, and also from, you know, how sports parents and coaches can, how we can help them to get, work with their athletes when they're going through a performance slump, and tools for that. So topics like how to, sometimes the source of the slump, performance slump, can be the parents, as you know, or the coach, and so how to help them through that, and any, give some examples, any examples that you have is great as well. And have for your Performing Edge slumps assessment tool that I developed, and so I can share that with you, and, you know, how to evaluate for possible burnouts, and who is at risk for a performance slump, and what happens when we lose motivation, or, you know, we get into a rut. This can apply to, you know, our athletes as well as ourselves professionally too. You know, with the pandemic and COVID-19, a lot of people are probably in a slump emotionally or mentally. So realizing that it is probably a universal experience that we all go through. And so how can you assess risk for injury or burnout, and, you know, what questions do you hear from from your athletes or performers that are at risk, and what type, what does, you know, a type A, oftentimes people who have slumps are a type A profile, a perfectionist, but not always. It could be any type of person as well. And this applies also to, you know, performers of any type, musicians too, and people in business. So, and then just talk about how to keep your athletes motivated, prevent burnout, and what the mental aspects are of stopping and then restarting a program. And then how can we use these same mental training techniques for our personal and professional life? You know, if you're feeling that way yourself through, you know, this pandemic, how can we, you know, keep going? So first I just wanted to ask any questions that you might have along this topic, or any examples. Yeah, I know Val. I know that you're relatively new to the program. Do you want to just quickly just introduce yourself and where you're from and why you want to take the program here? And if you're, can you speak a little bit louder?
I don't know if you can hear me because you were breaking up on my end.
Oh, I am. Oh, sorry. Okay.
I think it's me though. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you really well.
Okay, great. I took the program because I wanted to, well, primarily I focus on female athletes. I have a TikTok account. I don't know if you guys, I don't know how old everybody is in here, but if you know what TikTok is, it mainly has, it's a social media where it's short videos, and my page is focused on empowering a female athlete. And so a lot of the questions I get have to do around confidence and slumps and being perfectionist and fear of failure. And I wanted to be able to help my followers more, but also turn that into a business. And I feel like a lot of the times the female athletes are the ones that are overanalyzing. At least from my experience, I don't have a big case study or anything like that, although I do have almost 70,000 followers. So I just wanted to be able to help and also increase my knowledge.
70,000, did you say?
Yes.
That's amazing. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, so that's great. So, and your main sport is basketball, right? And you've been a professional basketball player?
Yes, I played college basketball, and I played professional basketball for 8 years overseas, and then in the American Basketball League, and then in the WNBA. And I struggled a lot with my confidence, being a type A personality, perfectionist. So I definitely empathize with kids that are going through this, or other athletes.
Right. Yeah. That's good. So, thanks for introducing yourself. And Dave, are you there too? Do you want to just mention your background and you're a certified coach now. You've been through the program and continuing on. Do you want to just mention any questions you have or any experience with slumps?
Sure. Like I've been a therapist for 17 years, and I was also a collegiate athlete and coach. And so, you know, for me coming into this program, being able to take the skills from my therapeutic kind of work over those years, and specifically working with teenagers, it's interesting the transition I've been able to make just recently with really targeting like high school athletes and the coaches and trainers I've met. And how that kind of crossed over at this very pivotal time with COVID, meaning like we've got stuff set up that's going to supposed to happen, and then the governor steps in and, you know, cuts it off. And what that does, you know, psychologically to an athlete and even the coaches and trainers. So I've just had a slew of coaches and athletes show up really struggling with just kind of like the isolation and consistency, because they're having to do workout a lot of on their own. And you know, it's like I've seen some serious slumps in my own personal experience, but this is a little different because it's so externalized, and you know, they feel so like powerless to kind of change it. So that's been my experience recently.
Right. Yeah, thanks Dave. And you've been moved to Utah. You can see how in the United States we have different states treat this differently, the pandemic. And Anna L., are you there? Do you want to just mention, I know that you're in France, and you've just gone into a second lockdown, the whole nation. And how has that affected you or any athletes you're working with, or, you know, the COVID situation there among athletes? Do you want to share anything, any experience you have?
Just say that I'm coach. I teach coach. And I wanted to do this program because I wanted to learn to have more competence. Ability. More skill. I wanted to have more skill to help in self-esteem and confidence, because in France we are often focused on what doesn't work, and not enough on what it works. And I would like to change this mindset.
Right. Great. Yeah, thanks, Anna Ellen. I know there in different countries in the U.S. were sort of not as strict about lockdowns, whereas you're saying in France you have to actually get permission now to go out, even go outside your house from the government. And boy, that can be really restrictive, especially with athletes that need to be able to go out and train. Right, and so it can be really challenging. So it's really important to be able to have some tools to work with to be able to get through this time and to work with folks that are going through all kinds of things. And it could be sometimes it's good to just understand what the source of the slump is. You know, sometimes it can be everyone's, of course, the pandemic right now, but also the parents and kids. And so I wanted to just kind of give you some ideas about, of course, parents now are going through a time when their kids are having to be, sometimes they cannot go out to work themselves. They got to work from home, and the kids need to do school at home, so everyone's sort of on each other's, at each other's throat. And so it can be really, really tricky. But for parents, I just wanted to mention some things. I know, for instance, I have a swimmer that I was working with, a 14-year-old swimmer that's in another state who, since the COVID-19, they've had another family member move in with them, and so all of a sudden she lost her bedroom and had to go because the grandfather needed to move in, and so she needs to move into the office space there. And so it really affected her mentally from just being able to not have the space that she's used to. And so, you get a lot of calls, I think, from parents saying, what should I do when my child athlete is stuck or frustrated with the situation? And, even under the best circumstances, it's really hard for parents to watch their child struggle, and it's even more the case when they're capable of executing a certain skill or playing at a much higher level. And then it's, can be really, so it's good to just kind of step into the parent's mindset for a moment and know that it's both perplexing and tremendously frustrating for parents to live through their child's slump or performance block or whatever they might be going through now. And some sports now, fortunately, are in this country are starting to open up. I just had a new client who's working with a soccer. There's the San Jose Earthquakes here, which is our professional soccer team, and he's on the Earthquakes Academy, so it's sort of a training group for that group, and they were in 6 months, couldn't train, and now just started going back to training. So it's good to look for sports that might be starting to train again, or other sports you might think of also are more the individual sports, running, distance running, or track, golf, or tennis, equestrian. Those sorts of sports are starting back up. So sports where people are starting to train again. So as a, just thinking along the lines, you might get a call from a parent who wants your help on, wants you to help the child, but also they want to know how to support their child as a parent. So sometimes you can have actually, I've had situations where I've been able to work individually with the child, and then the parent also wants help, so I'll do individual sessions with the parent on how to support them. I think that can work well. It can get more complicated if you have the parent and the child in one session, because then you can end up doing family therapy, which is a whole different skill that requires more training. And so I suggest it's better if you can work with the child individually, and then if the parent needs help, you can do sessions with them individually too, or maybe one or two consultations kind of thing. So, you know, you're thinking as a in the parent's mind, the parent wants their child to be happy. After all, you know, isn't that what their sport is all about? And you're supposed to enjoy yourself, not spend hours of practice in tears. And but also parents want their son or daughter to be successful as possible, and to meet their potential. And unfortunately, when a child is blocked by fear or otherwise they're stuck in a slump, or they're frustrated because of, you know, the COVID-19, they can't train the way that they usually do, they're not having fun and they're not performing to their potential. So, and I think, you know, you can hear these kind of scenarios. They, you know, a child comes home from practice and they're miserable, their level of frustration, feelings, or they feel like they're helpless and not powerful. I mean, those feelings can be really powerful, and their self-confidence seems to be in a free fall. And as a good parent, you know, it's good to empathize with them, I think, when you're on the phone with them first. That can help you to get them as a the child and the parent as a client to say, you know, as a parent, your instincts are clear. You want to rush in there and instantly make things all better. And if a coach, sometimes the coach and the parents are also causing problems, then you're unconscious, you instantly play thoughts of, you know, you want to get revenge on the coach or the what they're doing. And so you want to protect your child, of course, and you desperately want to help. And you're thinking there must be something, anything you can say or do that will get your child unstuck or back on track. And so, and then there's all the confusion, other things to let the parent know that you know about is all the confusions why the child is having these problems to begin with. You know, you're thinking sometimes the difficulties don't make any sense, or you're thinking, well, what are they going through? Why are they having these frustrations now? And so they, you know, like a, for instance, a basketball player who normally can just shoot hoops and can really, you know, make really good scores consistently, all of a sudden they can't even do a free throw consistently. And so you're wondering why they can't do these things that they normally would be able to do. And the frustrating thing is that sometimes there seems like there's no logical reason for the skill's disappearance. But, of course, there's pressure there, and there's a lot going on. And so they can often feel this overwhelming fear that if they don't get this, or if they don't improve, then they can't move to the next level, and or maybe they get kicked off the team, and those thoughts sort of come on. And so it's good to, you know, identify what those frustrations are that the parent has, and then it's some things that you can do to tell the parent and work with them on is how to be supportive, you know, to be encouraging, and of course parents have their own emotions, and oftentimes they're living through their child. They want their child to do really well, and they end up putting, as you know, a lot of pressure on the kids to perform well, and sometimes it's the parents wanting to save face, or parents wanting to brag about their kids, or want them to do as maybe better than they were able to do as an athlete. And so it's really important to have the parents keep their own emotions and needs and frustrations out of the picture. You know, they if they have frustrations and emotions, that's where you could actually do, you know, private sessions with the parents on how to be a good sports parent. Hey, a sports parent is a good title, or a good way to, one good way to refer to them, because it's not just a parent, but they're like a specialized parent, really. a sports parent that needs to be able to support their child, so keep their own emotions and needs, frustrations out of the picture and tell them it's not about you, it's about them. And then they can, but they're free to express their frustrations and emotions to you as a performing edge coach. And that's where they can work with them as opposed to laying the ball on the child. I think I might have mentioned before an example of a 15-year-old golfer that I had, and as she was going, even in the tournaments, she'd be playing and her father was texting her during the tournament, so she'd get these vibrations in her phone, and she'd know it was her father saying, "You're not trying hard enough," or, "You know, you need to take practice swings in between," and actually, you know, kind of almost yelling at her through his text messages. So that was a situation where I needed to, I could have the parent back off and not, so I advised, I gave him suggestions to when he's watching, sometimes it's better not to watch the whole game, or if he's watching and he has frustrations, to just write down what his thoughts and feelings, and to hold off on the texting. Don't do any of that during the tournament because that's only going to make her feel worse and play worse. But to just write down his thoughts and feelings, and we can process through those later so that leave the child to be able to handle things themselves. So being supportive is one thing, being encouraging, keep your emotions, parents' emotions out of the situation. And then a second thing that you can have them do is reassure your child that sooner or later they will get through this difficulty, be positive, and just be able to say, you know, I believe in you, and, you know, you'll be able to get through this, and help them to see that this is not a permanent situation, and that, you can get through this, or we can get through this. And then they can, you know, offer help. Hopefully they can call you as a performing edge coach to get more help with that. So reassuring the child in some way that if they're going to get through this. And a lot of times if you have stories, or if they, and the parents have stories of other children, other athletes who have had difficulties, you know, you can read about them all the time on the internet or YouTube or TV or anywhere. And athletes, most great athletes, all great athletes have had difficult times and then been able to get through those, get through the slump, and tell those kinds of stories. But it should not be, it's important to tell the parents, don't tell a story about the other sibling, their brother or sister. You know, that comparing is one of the worst things they can do, of course, to say, your brother is so much better than you, or your sister, why can't you be like your sister? That can be really damaging, of course. And so you want to keep the comparisons out of it, but just to be able to tell stories of other athletes in the same sport or maybe in another sport who have done well, gotten through a slump and how they made it through. So those are some tips for parents. Be supportive and reassure your, be encouraging, and then reassure your child they're going to get through this, be positive, and that, you know, communicate in your own words and actions that you know in the future they have what it takes to get through this difficulty. Just the big picture kind of thing, and provide the athlete with that long-term perspective. You know, look down the road. Same thing with, of course, with COVID and the pandemic right now. We know down the road we're going to get through this pandemic, and sooner at some point we'll be able to get back to training again. So it's good to, where with kids, oftentimes think this is forever. You know, we're going to be stuck inside forever, but pandemics do change, they do go away. Eventually, we don't know the time frame for that, but it's coming. We know that vaccines are coming, and things are going to get better. So it's good to provide that long-term perspective. And that, you know, just to saying at some point in the future, you know, there won't be this struggle. And that can be really comforting and helping the athlete relax. And then another tip for the parents, I think, is to be, this is for tip, parents and the athlete, is to be patient. Patience is really key. Be patient with your child, and that impatience and pressure only adds to the, you know, fuel to the fire, makes them more, have more difficulty. So, yeah, you want to teach your child to relax. And that, of course, that first teach the parent to relax. You might give them some breathing skills, relaxation skills, and what they can do. And that's the best way. If they can relax, then they can model what they need for their child. So, because letting them know that pressuring or threatening a child is not helpful here. Sometimes parents threaten them and say, you know, you're not, if you don't do well with this, like my golf parent said, if you don't, if you're not going to do well with this, we're just going to not let you play golf anymore. And threatening with that is really can be damaging and frustrating. Or you know, parents will say, I put so much money into this to give you lessons and all, and putting the financial part of it in there, and that's not, threatening them with that is not very helpful at all. But to with the, one of the best things they can do is get the child additional coaching or private instruction, or and mostly the psychological help with a performing edge coach like you is one of the best ways to help them work through the problems. Because you can sometimes, and you can tell them, you know, parents say, I've told them this, and they don't listen. And sometimes, you know, you as a professional telling them this, you know, a similar kind of thing, they will listen to you because you're the authority and you're independent of the situation. And so sometimes you can get a message through that maybe the parents couldn't before. So so those are key areas. And I know I had one set of parents that came in with their 14-year-old or 13-year-old basketball player, and he was having difficulty, and the father would just make, when they were sitting in the stands, he would point to his heart like a dagger and point to his heart and shake his head like saying no. And the child didn't know what that meant. And we talked about it there, and he said, what does that mean? And the father said, that means heart. You're not playing with enough heart. But that's, you know, just shaking your head and pointing to your throat like a dagger is really a horrible sign that the child didn't even understand, and it sounded like something really brutal. So I said, can you, it would be better if you just hold off not giving signs, or give just a thumbs up, only give the positive signals when he's doing well, or you know, roll your hand like, get the next one, we're going to get the next one. And the mother turned to the father and said, you know, why don't, when we get frustrated, why don't we just vent to each other? Why don't we vent, or why don't we just talk and to each other about our stress rather than putting it on our child? Which was fantastic, because the mother said that. And so that was a solution, actually, that the parents could decide that they, when they get frustrated, they could just talk with each other about the frustration. And with me there, rather than putting it on their child. And so the next session, he said, okay, you're not going to get any more negative signals from me to the child. And the next time he came in, he said, wow, I shot my best. He made 21 points and did his best game ever just by removing those negative signals from the parent. So I wanted to give that example as something that was really positive, just to having the parents hold back, or finding, giving the parents another way to express their frustration with themselves, or writing it down rather than, sometimes the parents are coaches, or an athletic coach, they're trying to coach the child as well as be the parent, and that can create more complications, of course. So it's good to have the parent write down, or write, if they're on an iPad, write down there what they, if they want to coach the child, write down what they want to say, and then save it for afterward, after the game, rather than during the game. So have them, give them some tools to be able to vent or to express their frustration another way. Another tip I want to give you to tell the parents and for us as well as coaches is to normalize the problem for the child. So let them know that setbacks and slumps and fears, mental blocks, these are all natural parts of the sport. And if that's going to happen, and it's okay, hasn't been no athlete that hasn't had those. And so just normalizing it, saying this is to be human is to have all of these emotions. And so you want to just try to help them change their attitude toward the difficulty they're having and use it as a challenge instead of fighting it and cursing their bad luck or saying, yeah, it was the other team or I had a bad call or yeah, the referee's against me or blaming it on someone else. You know, try to get them to use their difficulty as an opportunity to get stronger and tougher. And, maybe you did get a bad call from a referee or something happened, but how can we use this as an opportunity to get stronger? Ask them that question, and then they'll answer it for you in a way to say, well, I can realize that I can just work on the next shot. Instead of harboring that frustration the whole game, I can just go to what I'm doing right now, focus on what's happening now. Find, as I was saying before, you want to tell stories of great athletes who've struggled and overcome their difficulties, but even better is find, you know, live people who have successfully been through what your child is going through, a live role model, maybe themselves, if they've been through a struggle themselves, to tell that story and how they got through it. And then have them closely monitor the situation with the child's coach to see. Sometimes the child is struggling with a performance of a coach can actually make things worse. So, be sure that the coach is supportive and understanding. And if you notice the coach is continually attacking your child's self-esteem, they're saying they're demeaning them or using humiliation, then the parents can intervene and say, express their what's happening, because chances are they're doing that with the other athletes too, and so you want to, and that could be the source of a slump and performance slump. So have them intervene and talk with the coach and see if. And I had them with the swimmer I was working with. He was yelling and cursing at my swimmer athlete, and really bringing her down. And then I had the athlete approach the coach, which takes a lot of guts as a 14-year-old to talk with a coach, but she did that and it was very assertive and said, I don't appreciate how you're talking with me. We want our team to win, so I'd like you, if you can be more encouraging to me, more positive, that'd be really helpful. And then the parent also went in and talked with the coach, and so he didn't admit. Oftentimes the coaches will not admit that they're doing anything like that. They won't admit the wrongdoing, but often they will change, and they're still listening, and they're getting the feedback, and they realize that the job might be on the line, because sometimes parents get together and have a coach fired if they don't change. So in this case, the coach did change, and so he held that back, and he treated her with a lot more respect, and she was actually able to change the culture of the whole team because she changed the way that the coach dealt with every athlete. So he changed that for every, it made every athlete's life better. So what a great thing to be able to change that. Or sometimes the other alternative is if nothing changes, if the child can move the child to another team or another coach, and that can work too. If there's that option there. So it depends on where you live and all. So those are some suggestions for working with parents. And then I also want to give you some suggestions for working with coaches, athletic coaches too. But first, I just want to check in with you and see what is, do you have thoughts or comments or examples from what I've just talked about or questions? You guys, anyone can jump in.
This is Dave. Just was wondering if there a checklist in the I know there's workbooks online, but is there a checklist for parents that you've created, or is that something maybe I should make on my own? Or it just seems like with like a bullet point visual cues that sometimes respond a little bit better. Is that something that's available to us, or is that something I might need to
make? Yeah, actually, I'm developed. Yeah, you're thinking. Thinking along the same lines. After today, I was going to send you something for that. And I just want to get your feedback. What would you want included in the checklist? The checklist of sort of warning signs or what tips for parents? What were you thinking?
Yeah, along the lines of just like parental response, like response modeling, mindfulness, tone and approach, brevity, you know, like the repetition and nagging that can sometimes occur, that kind of thing. Just a visual cue for parents, because that's what I'll do in my behavior changes, very specific visual, you know, like targeting of behaviors that we know will shift that from a negative to a positive, right, or at least make it neutral. So something along those lines.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I was developing that here and or updating it. So I'll send you that out this week for checklists for parents and that'll be great. I'll do that and I'll also put it in the members area at performingedgecoach.com. So that'll be great. And do you have anyone have examples or questions? Comments or what about what I said? What strikes you as being the most helpful, or something that you could use? Maybe Val and Val, you're into basketball. I gave a basketball example. Do you have thoughts about sports parents, you know, especially with women and athletes?
No,
or just athletes
themselves. Tell parents to shut up and stay out of it. That's why I need the training. So.
Tell the parents to shut up and stay out of it?
Yeah. I do, but that's why I need a better way to convince them that they're being harmful to their, you know, to their daughter. It's science.
Yeah.
Back.
Oh, go ahead,
yeah,
Les.
So I just wanted to add to that a little bit, Val, because that's a good point. Like, yeah, they do need to stay out of it. And sometimes, like, as a skill for the parents I'm working with, if I'm too direct, they might block me. But if I use narratives, like, from other parents, like, you know, work with this other family. This is how it went down. And then if that kind of hits maybe a brick wall, then I'll just start talking about intention and impact, right? Your intention is to do well and to make sure that he is, you know, achieving at this level or she's achieving at this level. But the outcome is her resenting and being pissed off and maybe even playing worse. So I'll kind of go down that line. And in most cases, parents will see it, but it is a tough road if that's been the pattern. So you really have to stay on it. That's what I've kind of learned over the years as far as actual behavior change for, you know, for athletes. So
I like that.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, it's what your intention is, and then impact how it actually comes out of your mouth could be two different things. And sometimes it's better to listen. That's why the old saying, "Why we have two ears and one mouth," to teach parents to listen first. asking the child like maybe a question, "What's going on? Tell me how was the game for you?" And rather than just starting right out and yelling at the kid, being able to just listen first and be a try to be empathetic and understand what the child's going through. That's the best way to get through to them oftentimes. And Al, are you there? Do you have any comments or questions?
No, for me, it's okay.
Okay, yeah. So there's all kinds of things that we can talk about with them, and sometimes I'll meet often if well before COVID-19 I was meeting with people in my office here, and hopefully I'll do that again when we start to intervene there, and or if you have an outdoor space, and a deck or a front yard or some a private area outside where you can meet with people, if it still work. When I meet with kids, first time, I'll have the parent come to the session first and the child, and talk with both of them for the first half of the session, and then the second half I'll have the parent just go for a walk or wait outside. And that way you get a chance to see the dynamic between the parent and the child, and oftentimes see if the parent is really controlling. Sometimes if the parent's answering the question, I'm asking a question to the child and the parent answers for them, that's a good big signal that how controlling they are and how much, or you'll see, when you're in a session with them, you see the looks. The child says something and the parent responds, and then the child rolls their eyes, or you can tell that they're not agreeing, or the here we go again kind of that look. And so those looks between the two are really valuable information that you can tell something's not going on, or something's not getting, communication's not clear. Or there's a lot of feeling there, and you can tell how much the motivation is with the parent, and sometimes versus the child too. So, for instance, I had a young ice skater girl come in, and her mother came as well, first time, and she said, she's 11 years old, the ice skater, and her mother said, oh, she's on an Olympic track. And she will be in the Olympics. And she's only 11 years old. The mother has her whole life laid out for her already, whereas the child was not as into it as the parent. And so, the mother said, "Oh, she has 7 private coaches already. 7 private coaches." I thought, at 11 years old, and I would be the 8th one. a coach for her jumping, and her coach for choreography, and coach for a dance coach, and a strength and conditioning coach, and oh my gosh. So some parents are just way over the top with too much help, I think. And so I needed to, as you say, Val, tell the parent to kind of back off or shut up in a nicer way, let the child develop, because the child was not as, didn't really want to do, it wasn't thinking of the Olympics. He's just thinking of, getting through that workout, or do I have friends, or can I get a new iPhone? She's just thinking about basic things, not way ahead. So sometimes it can be humorous, actually, to think about how much parents sometimes put way too much pressure on the child, or they're trying to help too much, as opposed to just letting the child be a kid, because there's that important part too. So that's great. I appreciate your comments on all that. And so parents need to be able to back off, and then also I think it's good to have kids be able to talk with their parents. Like with the young golfer, the child, I said, then I started meeting with her individually, and I said, can you, with the phone, if your dad is texting you while you're trying to, while you're in the game, can you turn off your phone? Which is a totally foreign concept to most kids, actually turning off a phone. So we're not supposed to be looking at our phone while we're in the game, in the tournament. But she puts it in her pocket, just puts it on vibrate, She'd hit a bad shot, the dad would text her. She would feel the vibration in her pocket with the phone, and she would know that that was a negative comment, and so it would have the same effect. It's like getting an electric shock from the father, and she's thinking, oh God, I'm going to get it after this game. And the father's kind of venting his frustrations through sending her text. So I said, can you just simply power down your phone? I had to actually tell her how to do that. Hold the button down for 2 seconds, and the phone will turn off, and then you don't have to feel the vibration in your pocket. And she said, well, I never thought of that. So she did that, and that was really a she was afraid that the parent would, dad would get upset, but, you know, I said, well, here, I told her, I'm coaching you how to coach your dad. And she liked that concept that I was, I'm coaching you how to coach your dad, how to, how to speak, how to help your dad be a good sports parent, basically. And so, she said, you can tell your dad that I said it's okay to turn off your phone, and important to turn off your phone completely while you're playing. And so all of a sudden she had a feeling of power that she could just play and focus, and that she knew what to do, because she said in between shots, you know, she needs time to think and just to zone out, just be able to look up at the clouds, look at the trees, the sky, and not think of anything. Rather than get yelled at through these texting. So she did that, and her game really improved afterward. And then she spoke to the father and was able to say, look, I want to be able to just not get feedback while I'm playing. So, that was just the tip of the iceberg with the issues there, but it was really a turning point where she felt like she could say something and have some control, a bit of control while she's playing. So, good examples. You can help the kids be able to talk to the parents, and same way talk to the coaches and coach them. So that's some ideas about parents, and then I also wanted to talk a little bit about coaches to be able to, when you're talking with athletic coaches, sometimes you in our group here, like Val, you're an expert with basketball, you could be the psychological coach and in some ways the athletic coach, because you have a lot of experience with basketball, and each of us have, I know June is in Texas, and she's got a lot of experience with equestrian, with horse training, and so she can help with both psychological and the riding aspect. I've got John is in Nebraska, works with swimmers, and can do both. Sometimes you can do both, but oftentimes we're working on the mental part, and then they've got a coach, an athletic coach, that's working on their skills there. And so, the coach, most coaches have two overall goals. They want to teach their athletes how to work hard and how to have a commitment to pursuit of excellence. And most coaches, the thing is, they really want their team to win, of course, and sometimes the problem is that winning is above, counts more than anything else. But actually, of course, character development and being able to teach someone how to handle difficulty and overcome adversity and be able to bounce back and have resilience, so those are really key areas that we want to work on with athletes and help the coaches to realize that that's all part of winning is being able to have to teach the athletes how to be, when they're having a difficult time or something, how to deal with that. So a lot of coaches are very frustrated when athletes are in a slump or can't, they think they're playing, they're not playing with heart or having a difficult time. They say they're playing with mediocrity, but really it's just athletes have ups and downs. And so, like you were saying, Dave, I think it's important to realize that their intentions, they have intentions, and then what the impact is might be very different than what they intended in how they're speaking with people. And so you can work with coaches, because some of you might be working with the athletes and then working with a coach too, and it's helpful to. I know we had one person in our course here who was actually did a seminar for coaches of different sports, and would talk with them about the frustrations, and the coaches were in, each one was in a different sport, so they weren't competing with each other. So that's one option for something that you could do as part of your performing edge coaching business, is do say a weekly or monthly kind of workshop. It could be in person or it could be on the phone or by Zoom for coaches to help them with the mental aspect of things and help them to be able to vent their frustrations. And then you can find out from that what the real problems are there. And then so it's good feedback for you for marketing so you can get more clients about what issues coaches are actually dealing with. And so it's, that I think it's really good to be able to tell coaches that, first of all, being negative is not going to inspire your team for winning. Most coaches have that negative approach where, this, if they were to measure the negative comments to positive, the ratio would be very high on the negative side. And so to be able to adopt a stance of staying positive no matter what is really key. And just explaining to them that being negative is not going to help them overcome their fear or bust out of that performance slump. It's going to undermine motivation, and nothing good comes from that negativity. It's going to disrupt their focus and increase an athlete's stress, and really put a damper on their competitive spirit. And so, and then also when the coaches are negative, the whole team is brought down. So no matter how frustrated you might be with your athletes, tell them it's crucial that they stay positive and optimistic, that they can have, even if the team is losing, that they can have a sense that, hey, we can get through this. We can. We need to just focus on right now what we can do. And so being able to remember that adversity is something we can master here, and setbacks can be something you can learn from. So being supportive and patient, being patient with your athletes that are struggling is really key for parents, and also for coaches to learn that patience. So, you might teach your coaches some breathing exercises when they get frustrated, and letting them know that pressure, if you put pressure on them, that's what happens when you're impatient. And then the athlete can get down on themselves and can only make things worse. So your support is really critical. And, to say to an athlete, hey, I know you're struggling right now, but you have done some fantastic plays here recently, and you can, I know you can do those. Let's just take a moment to visualize those right now, or see tell me about one of your best plays, or, that sort of thing can really help an athlete to just right on the spot to have them, give them some positive language to talk about their best events and see if they can get back to that. And then you can, with coaches, you can help your athlete or your team to focus. So athletes and teams, they struggle oftentimes because they're over-focused on a problem. They're trying too hard to get unstuck. And it's instead of trying too hard, you want to just help your athletes, have the coaches focus on the athletes focus on what they need to do to perform better for their potential. So focus on what you do want to happen. Like I say in your Performing Edge book, you know, do say what you do want, don't say what you don't want, and give them some really concentration skills and focusing skills for being able to do that. You know, some take in a deep breath and say, I'm breathing and focus, and I'm breathing out and letting go. And the concentration goals should be like process-oriented, not outcome-oriented. So you don't want them to just focus on winning or focus on getting this point or this goal, but focus on, let's say, focus on your shooting pattern, or focus on your dribbling, focus on what it is that you want to, if it's baseball, focus on your hitting. I know we've got a couple guys, Greg and George, who are working with baseball. So focus on those things that you are, and your form, on your breathing, on your pacing, staying calm before during your performance. So those are things that you want to focus on, and then the results are going to come from that. So keeping with basketball, keeping low, moving your feet on defense, making sure your stroke stays long and smooth. You know, for swimming each time, concentrating on the rhythm of your arm swing or the breathing of your shoulders, being relaxed while you're running. Those are all good examples. You know, with gymnastics, making sure your hands stay together and feel the beam. So just one, you know, focusing on one thing that you want to do. Those are all examples of process-related goals. And as opposed to outcome goals would be, you know, okay, we're going to score 15 points today or shut out the other team, but as much, those things will come. So helping your athlete, and then just the key thing is focusing on being here now, you know, be in the present, like the third P. I talk about positive images, power words, and present focus. So the third P is present focus, helping your athletes stay in the present, stay in the now, as opposed to doing time travel, always, you know, worrying about mistakes of the past or what's going to happen in the future. Just saying to yourself, be here now, be here now, is a really good one to help with and encourage athletes to, we can't change the past, so leave that behind. Forget about the future and just focus on what's right in front of you right now. And maybe remind them what that is. Focus on what's right in front of you right now. Right now is, say, the next play. And say, you know, that phrase that I use, just this, and then fill in the blank. So it's, if it's a runner, it's just this mile. If it's tennis, just this serve. In basketball, it's just this shot or just this play. If it's maybe if it's swimming, it's, you know, just this lap. So you really focus it down to what you're doing right at this moment, and it takes practice. And you know, you're kind of reeling your mind in. So yeah, those are some tips for coaches, and then we went over some tips for parents, and I'll send that checklist to you, a checklist for parents for being able to work with them. And of course with coaches, another thing is that you want to encourage them to value every player on the team. A lot of coaches pick the star of the team and they give way too much emphasis there, and everyone else doesn't feel that important. So really finding a way to value each person and to thank each person for being there. And one technique you can use is if you're working with a team, is have them all sit in a circle, and or you could do this by Zoom or phone also, and have each one person be in the kind of the chosen one, and everyone else goes around and says one thing that they like about that person or one skill that they value in that person, one thing that they do well. And then you go to the next person and the team goes around and says what one thing that they want to do, what one thing they like about that person or how that person contributes to the team. So it's not, it's all positive feedback and it's all things that they value. And that can be such a valuable exercise for athletes to feel good inside and to build it for team building. So they all realize, wow, everybody has an important role here. So so that's some things I wanted to emphasize today. And and then we'll have, I'd just like at the end here to go around and say, maybe if you could each say one thing that take away from today, one thing that maybe was helpful for you that you could use, that would be great. And then remember, our next call will be in 2 weeks, but not on Thursday. We'll have it on Tuesday, the 24th, since the 26th is Thanksgiving, so Tuesday next time. So, so could you, if each of you could maybe say something that was helpful for you, or a takeaway or something maybe you could use, that would be great for us to emphasize those things. Anyone can jump in.
Okay, Dr. Joanne, this is Dave.
Yeah.
I guess I'm thinking about just parental, like, impact that I mentioned, but also, like, self-disclosure by a parent, like, well, I did this, and kind of vicariously living through their kids, and just, like, the impact that has. And how even in the therapy world, right, our self-disclosure is not a form of empathy in many cases, because somebody will say, well, my experience is different than yours. So my vantage point is to come in and be more interested than interesting, like, oh, look at me, look what I went through. I can show you a way of doing it based on my experience versus getting your experience first. And I think that would be good for parents to hear too. You know, like, that's a good feedback loop for parents to hear it from us, that, you know, your experience is separate from your child's, right? And let them own it. Let them have natural rewards and natural consequences. I think that that's kind of been my experience as of late.
Yeah, thank you, Dave. That's awesome. Yeah, great. Yeah, to say, you know, what the parents say, back in my day, we did things differently.
Yeah.
Or, letting them have their own experience, not just because theirs might be different. Yeah, that's great. So thank you, Dave. Listening to the child and really having empathy for them, which involves asking good open-ended questions, is important. So, how about Val or Anna L? Are you there?
I'm here, Val. I do want to say that when I tell parents to shut up and stay out of it, it's when I was like the coach of the team. So I don't have experience in, you know, the whole performance coaching side of things. And parents are used to getting their way, and coaches are afraid of parents, especially if you play AAU basketball where the parents are essentially paying for their salary. And they're not used to being told what they can and cannot do. We become entitled as parents. And I'm a parent. I'm a sports parent. And I've checked myself quite a few times. But what I've gotten out of this call, I like what Dave said, intention and impact. That stuck with me, even just being a parent in general, not just even being a sports parent. And I think that's powerful to put that in the back of your mind every time we are speaking with players, parents, and coaches.
Yeah, good. That's great. Yeah. Yeah, so that's good to know. Yeah, if you're each of your sports parents, you can have your own experience too with this. But to be able to have that's good, Val. Thank you for that. The intention and the impact and being able to just listen, listen to what the child is saying, and it's great. You've had experience with both with coaching, being a basketball coach, so you understand what parents are going through there. So that's great. You have that background too, and knowing the parents have so they feel entitled, and they, you know, if they're paying for things, but sometimes they can give the coach valuable feedback. But if the coach is a real problem, then parents can get together and give feedback as a group. That can be really valuable to get the coach to change their behavior too. So, it's interesting to understand the dynamics between the parents and the coaches. So, okay, great. Thanks, NL. Val and NL, are you still there? Anything that you have that
hear me?
Was valuable? Yeah, I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Well, yes, I can hear you.
Yes. I agree with you. I think everybody has got his own resource, own talent, and parents have to be in conscience. I don't think it's good. But each parent have to know what is his fear, his beliefs, try to be, they have to know that what belongs to them and everything which belongs to them don't belong to their children. So avoid confusion between their situation, their past, and the situation of their children and their future. I don't think everything is clear, but it's clear for me.
Okay. It's clear for you. That's the important thing, yeah. Yeah, okay, great. Yeah, our thoughts go out to you being in the lockdown, national lockdown in France. That's where you, yeah. Yeah, I know it's tough there, and I hope that you can get through that quickly and that everybody stays safe there. And, it's a good time to be able to do writing and reading and develop your Performing Edge Coach program here. And I know you're just finishing up. You're getting close to getting your certification, so that's great. So, I look forward to your assignments. And so thanks, everyone. It's a great conversation with you. This is awesome. And next time, if you have suggestions for topics for our next call, you can always email them to me, too. That would be great. So, look forward to next time. So I'll be in 2 weeks, but on Tuesday, 24th rather than Thursday, so we can do a pre-Thanksgiving call here on Tuesday at the same time at 9 Pacific. So thanks, everyone. Have a great week. And we'll talk to you. I'll send out the replay here shortly for this call, and I'll send that parents' checklist to you also, to all of you, and put it on the website too. So I look for that shortly here. So thank you so much. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon. All right. Okay, bye now. Thanks. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.